Welcome into Preds Insiders, the live reaction to the Game 2 victory over the Arizona Coyotes continues right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Preds get the 4-2 win over the Arizona Coyotes. They tie this best of five series, at one game apiece with the 4-2 win. Goals from Nick Bonino, Ryan Johansson, Callie Yarncroak, and Victor Arvidsson made it 4-0. UC Saros was a minute away from a shutout, and then the Coyotes scored two late goals 10 seconds apart in the final minute. So UC Saros played very well today, and a great overall team effort, a huge step in the right direction, I thought, from what we saw Sunday. And Sunday in Game 1, I mean, it was a first-period blunder for this team. Once that odd goal, that fluky goal went in for the Arizona Coyotes, it spiraled out of control for the Nashville Predators, as you know. It became 3-0 in a span of about 8 minutes, and the Preds had to play catch-up from there, and two goals from Philip Forsberg and one from Roman Josi the other day, or not Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis on Sunday. It was not enough. It was too little, too late for the Nashville Predators on Sunday. So they lost Game 1, 4-3, but they responded in a big way today. And I thought the start was crucial. Now, 5 seconds in, everybody was saying, oh boy, here we go again, because Philip Forsberg committed a trip against Phil Kessel. 5 seconds into the first period, the Preds killed off that penalty. They got a power play opportunity of their own. They did not capitalize on it, but just shortly thereafter, after they killed off, they missed on their own power play, it was the third line, Grimaldi, Nick Bonino, connecting on the game-opening goal.
Ekholm left side, skates in. Spins the puck down for Rocco Grimaldi behind the net. Right circle, looking for a shot and a score. Nick Bonino. And the Predators take a 1-0 lead. A 5-on-5 goal scored after 7 minutes and 50 seconds.
Smart play there from Ekholm. He has a chance to pass it across. He decides to just put it down low. Grimaldi fetches it and spits it right out into the slot for Bonino. Bonino right around the dot. Just turns and fires a quick wrist shot that goes up over Kemper.
That was the call from Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators radio network earlier this afternoon, as Bonino made it 1-0 Preds. And then the Preds up 1-0, they made it 2-0. But before they made it 2-0, I thought one of the key moments in this game, perhaps the biggest moment in this game, came from UC Saros when the Coyotes were putting pressure on Saros. They were trying to tie the game at 1, and Saros came through in the clutch.
Here now is Chychrun with the try, deflected high, step on with a shot, stopped there, and then Saros made another stop on Clayton Keller.
Oh, how about juice? That's just three fantastic saves. Then he follows it up with about three more after that. I'm not sure what the shot clock says, but that was some spectacular goaltending.
That was, again, the call you heard this afternoon, UC Saros making multiple huge saves, especially on his stomach with the right pad, keeping the game 1-0, and then just about a minute later, Ryan Johansson made it 2-0.
In on the left wing side, Victor Arvidsson, Forsberg comes on, tried to slip the puck behind the defense. Instead, he lost it, and a shot taken from the right circle by Ryan Johansson. It is 2-0 Nashville.
Well, there's a bounce they were looking for. Not the prettiest of goals, but Joey will take it. Forsberg tries to make a power move, loses the puck, but it's going towards the net. The little rebound comes off, and Johansson is Johnny on the spot.
So Ryan Johansson made it 2-0 midway through the first period, and you're thinking, all right, this is the fast start that they need and have been looking for ever since Game 1. And Preds up 2-0. I thought the Coyotes outplayed the Preds a little bit in the first period. The Preds got the bounce, as Hal Gill said there, in that goal call. I thought that was a soft goal that Darcy Kemper led up. Darcy Kemper today looked very shaky in net for the Arizona Coyotes, particularly on that goal and the goal that we're about to hear in the second period. But Ryan Johansson, huge goal to make it 2-0 Preds. And I really felt all game long, once they made it 1-0 and then 2-0, thought the Preds played with a lot of confidence. They looked pretty comfortable with that lead. This is a team that always looks a lot more comfortable with the lead than they do when they're trying to play from behind like they did Sunday in game one. And when this team has confidence, they can play with anybody. And up 2-0, going into the second period, that's when I thought the Preds really cranked it up and really stifled the Coyotes' offense that really struggled to score goals in the regular season. And they struggled today to generate much offensively in the second and most of the third periods. And the Preds putting on pressure yet again, getting a lot of pressure on Darcy Kuemper, and Kelly Yarncroke broke through their midway through the second.
Austin Watson out high, and his shot deflected up, came off the glass behind the net. Now Sisson's in the corner, off for Yarncroke, and the score! This time the score comes from the right side of Darcy Kuemper, and the Predators have themselves a 3-0 lead.
Sissons gets it behind the net. He's looking. He has some time and space. He hits Yarncroke. Yarncroke's initial shot is blocked, and it goes right back to his stick. Rolling puck that he's able to get up over Kuemper. As Kuemper is down with his paddle down, he had no idea where that puck was.
So that was Callie Yarncroke's first goal of the postseason. Make it 3-0 Nashville Predators just 6 minutes into the second period. And with that 3-0 lead, that the Preds really dominated from there and didn't let the Coyotes have many chances after that. And that Yarncroke goal for me, I thought was a pretty big talking point for this Preds team coming out of Game 1 and going into Game 2. And this was a team that really needed to play better in the hard areas. They needed to get to the hard areas, not just play better there, but actually get there. They were held to the perimeter way too much in Game 1. And Bonino kind of going through the hard areas to score his goal, Johansson as well, but Callie Yarncroke making it happen. He took one whack at it. It was blocked by a Coyotes defenseman, and then Yarncroke putting it past Kuemper. Kuemper didn't really know where the puck was. I don't know what Kuemper was doing on that goal for Callie Yarncroke. But Yarncroke making it 3-0. Kyle Turris had a chance just a minute or two later to make it 4-0. He hit the post, but yet again, Turris was in that hard area, in the middle of the ice, where the Preds, historically, here in the last couple years, have had a hard time really penetrating against opponents that like to create that house around the goaltender. You can date it all the way back to that Winnipeg series where the Jets played really well in front of Connor Hellebuyck in their victories. And you look at the Dallas Stars series for the majority of that series. Between the Preds and the Stars. The Stars did not let the Preds get to the middle of the ice. And I thought this afternoon, Preds did a much better job of that. Turris hit the post in the second period. Turris had another great chance in the third period to make it 4-0. But then Victor Arvidsson on the power play. Victor Arvidsson looked like vintage Victor Arvidsson going down the right wing and making it 4-0.
Drop for Stepan. Tries to go across in front. Broken up there. And Johansson sends it out for Arvidsson. Speeding in right wing side. The shot, he scored! Victor Arvidsson on the power play. And the Predators have taken a 4-0 lead.
That was a bomb. Right down the wing. He goes short side shelf. Picks his spot and nails it. That is a heater. It got a little bit of Kuemper on the way by.
Yeah.
But it blew off that part of the jersey. It was a bomb.
That was Victor Arvidsson's first goal of the postseason as well, making it 4-0 Nashville Predators there in the third period. Power play goal, the only power play goal of the day for the Nashville Predators out of four opportunities that they had on the power play. But you couple that with the two that they scored on the power play Sunday. They now have three goals in this series on the power play against a stingy Coyotes penalty kill. And I felt pretty good about the Preds power play coming into the series. Made the bold prediction Friday night in a special edition Preds Insiders, saying that I felt like the Preds were going to score at least three power play goals in this series, and they've already met that through two games. And the power play looking pretty, pretty good, much better than that did last postseason against the Dallas Stars, where they went 0-15 in those six games. They've now scored three power play goals. I think that's a huge, huge boost of confidence on the power play that they have had this success already in this series against the Coyotes. The Coyotes scored two more goals late in the third period. I mean, look, It would have been nice to get UC Saros the shutout. It's not that big of a deal. Jared Tenorti can't make the turnover that he made on that first goal that Clayton Keller scored for the Coyotes. I really haven't liked Jared Tenorti's game through two games of this series. But overall, a great performance from the Nashville Predators, exactly what the doctor ordered after what happened in Game 1. And you have to have a lot of confidence going into Game 3. But as you heard Jared Stillman last hour say, we've seen this before out of this Preds team, where they'll respond to a loss with a victory, but then they'll follow up a victory by laying an egg or not playing well or not getting a victory. I think it's important for the Preds to follow this up and really put the screws on the Arizona Coyotes tomorrow in Game 3 and follow it up with another victory, take the series lead. And if you're John Hines, I think you really have to like the way that your team has played in the last five periods. The first period was a complete blunder against the Arizona Coyotes in Game 1. But the second period was a little better before Grabner scored the shorthanded goal. The third period, they really put a lot of pressure on Darcy Kuemper and the Coyotes in Game 1. And then for much of this game, they controlled the pace of it. The first period, I thought the Coyotes maybe outplayed them a little bit. But for the most part, UC Saros didn't have to do a ton of work today outside of that series of saves that you heard there in the first period. UC Saros making 24 saves in the victory, his first postseason victory for the Nashville Predators. Coming up next, we will hear from Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Morning Drive right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we'll ask Robbie, would he stick with Saros in Game 3 or go to Pecorine, and what was his biggest takeaway from this victory for the Nashville Predators? That's all coming up next on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth, live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Preds win 4-2 over the Arizona Coyotes today, tie up the best-of-five series in the qualifying round at one game apiece. Game 3 is tomorrow, pregame at 12:30, puck drop at 1:30, same time, same channel, ESPN 102.5 The Game, yet again tomorrow afternoon. We'll hear from Robbie Stanley next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in studio, continuing the live reaction to the Preds' 4-2 victory over the Arizona Coyotes in Game 2 of the qualifying series up in Edmonton. Series tied 1-1, Game 3 tomorrow. Pre-game at 12:30, puck drop at 1:30 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are now joined by my good buddy and co-host of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley. Robbie, how are we doing this evening?
Porth, I'm wonderful, my friend. How are you?
Doing just fine. I think we're all doing a little better today than we were at this time Sunday evening after a big Preds victory this afternoon. What was your biggest takeaway from today's win?
Well, I thought they got much better as the game went along. I actually didn't think they played all that well in the first period, despite being up 2-0 in the game. So hockey's a funny game sometimes. Sometimes you get rewarded for good play, and other times you play kind of sort of like crap and end up 2-0 at the end of the first.
We may have lost Robbie Stanley.
Well, it was starting 5:40 seconds prior to that. Saros made two or three big saves, and then they were able to come down and transition and score to go up 2-0. Really, in the second, third periods, I thought the Predators largely dominated the game. I mean, they didn't get a ton of great offensive looks, but I thought really controlled the puck well, defended extremely well. And that's one thing in Game 1 that I was just kind of looking around going, you know, what the heck is going on? You're letting guys like Clayton Keller and Christian Dvorak just sit there all by themselves in the defensive zone. They were much better in that area, specifically Ryan Ellis. I thought he did a great job today. And kudos to him for really, I think, raising his battle level. He got into it with Taylor Hall, you know, three or four different times in this game. So I thought a much better effort for the Predators in this game. Now the question is going to be the same question we've asked of this group all season long. Can you build on it? We've had varied responses to that answer. We'll find out in Game 3.
Well, you mentioned the area in front of the net defensively. I also want to bring it up offensively because I thought the Preds had a lot more opportunities and spent a lot more time in front of Darcy Kuemper than they did in Game 1.
They did, and to me, I think that's all about the mentality to get there. I mean, Yarncroke's goal was right there. Bonino's, Johansson, you're around the net. Arvidsson was more on the rush, just kind of ripping it past Kemper. But it just, it's about the willingness and the mentality to go there. And I thought there was more of a concerted effort in this game, certainly, than there was in game one. And I remember asking in game one, like, what are you doing? Get there. I mean, this is how you're going to have to score goals in the playoffs. So I agree. I thought they did a much better job of getting, even the Duchesne line. Like, you know, Duchesne, I think, had a pass behind the net to Kyle Turris in the third period. They were wide open in the slot. It was a great look, a great chance. I know that line didn't score, but even they generated some time around the net and in front of the net. So I thought that was encouraging to see. Now the challenge is going to be you have to keep that up, because that's going to be largely how you have to score, especially in this series against a team in Arizona who's really good at protecting that house in front of the net. You got to find a way to get to the middle of the ice, and I thought the Predators, for the most part, did a pretty good job of that today.
Yeah, that Turris Duchesne Granlund line was, at least in my opinion, a lot more effective in the offensive zone than they were in game one. And you bring up the opportunity for Turris in the third period. He also hit the post point blank in the second period. That could have made it 4-0 and really put the game away right after Yarncroke made it 3-0. So that line was buzzing. And I thought, of, you know, once again, the Jofa line, maybe not yet to the point that they were before the 2019 postseason, where they were dominant in every single game. But it just feels like that trio of Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson just continues to improve.
It does, and it feels good to have Victor Arvidsson back to being Victor Arvidsson, doesn't it? I mean, when he wound up for that thing on the fourth goal, I knew it was going in. As soon as he wound up for it, I knew that was going in. I mean, it was just one of those things. If you're a Predators fan and you've watched this team for any length of time, that Arvidsson's been a part of it, we've seen that same goal 100 times. I mean, that's what he excels at. He placed that shot exactly where it needed to be. And the confidence he's playing with right now, I think, largely wasn't there for the majority of this season. Injury certainly has a lot to do with that. But, you know, him being healthy, him being back to that level in terms of his speed and his burst that he's got, I mean, that's going to be huge for this team. Victor Arvidsson doesn't score the goal that he scored today in the regular season. So I agree. I think that line is doing a lot of good things. I like the way Johansson played today. I like the way Forsberg played today, even though he didn't get rewarded on the goal-scoring part of it like he did in game one. So I agree. I think they're coming along nicely. Still don't think they're where they need to be in terms of consistently dominating the game, but I think they're taking steps to get there.
Yeah, Forsberg had six shots on goal today. That led all Nashville Predators of the 28 that they did generate on Darcy Kemper. And speaking of Darcy Kemper, you know, a lot of people thought coming into the series, Robbie, that the Arizona Coyotes had the goaltending edge because of Darcy Kemper. But what have you made of his play through two games?
I think it's been very average. I think average at best. You think back to game one, I mean, Forsberg's first goal just kind of squeaks through him, goes off a body in front. He's made a couple huge saves every now and then. Like Duchesne today had a phenomenal pass. I think it went Johansson, Duchesne over to Arvidsson on the power play on the rush, and he made a great save on that play there. But, you know, he's had his moments every now and then. But I think Darcy Kemper has been average through the first two games so far, and that's good news if you're the Predators. I thought, especially Johansson's goal today, he should have stopped. There's no way that puck should get through a guy who's played as well as Darcy Kemper has played all season long. So I would give the goaltending edge so far in the series probably to UC Saros for sure. I don't think there's a goal yet that Saros has given up that you really have any qualms about. So I think Saros has definitely been the better goaltender so far. But the problem you worry about with a guy like Kemper is if he gets hot, he can stay hot for about two or three games. In a five-game series, that's really all you need to stay hot for. So the Predators have to make sure they do a good job of continuing to attack the middle, to continuing to make life difficult in front of the net for Darcy Kemper. And if they do that, I think they've got a good chance to advance here.
Robbie Stanley of NHL.com on the line with us here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I really thought the third period of game one and the fact that the Preds scored a couple goals and they got a lot of pressure on the Coyotes was a big thing for their confidence coming into game two as it relates to getting offense on Darcy Kemper and actually scoring goals, because Darcy Kemper has had success against Nashville in his career, no matter where he's playing. And I thought he played okay to pretty well for most of game one, but the fact that the Preds got a couple on him in the third period of game one, and now They scored four goals on him today. You bring up the second goal that Johansson scored. That was a leaky goal by Kemper. I also didn't know what he was looking at on the Yarncroke goal. I mean, he looked like he was doing the mannequin challenge when Yarncroke shot that puck. He was just frozen in time, and Yarncroke scored that goal. I think he's looked very shaky, and I agree with you that UC Saros should get the big edge in that goaltending bout.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, when you look at Kemper throughout the course of his career, yeah, he's been great this year, but it's not like he's been some elite goaltender throughout the course of his career. This right. is the first playoff that he's had, you know, the full shot at being the goaltender. So I think the Predators need to exploit that. I'm interested to see, like, how the Coyotes continue to handle this series the deeper it goes. Like, you know, if you lose tomorrow, if you're Arizona and you're down 2-1, do you have what it takes to respond in game four, or do you fold? I mean, other than, you know, Phil Kessel and Derek Stepan, there's not a whole lot of playoff experience with this group. So I'm interested to see how they handle it from that standpoint. And, you know, it brings up the question, I'm sure we're going to get to it here in just a second. Like, if you're the Predators and John Hines, what do you do tomorrow? Like, do you go with Pekka, or do you stay with UC Saros? Because we knew heading into this series, 3 games in 4 days, you're going to have to make a decision heading into game three. I've kind of waffled back and forth on this, but based on the way that Saros has played so far and based on, I think, the relatively limited amount of work he got today and being 25 years old, that helps too. I'd probably go back to Saros tomorrow in game three just based on the way he's played. I think he's been that good.
I 1,000% agree. I think a lot of people are overthinking the back-to-back of this because this isn't your normal back-to-back. There's no travel. And the other thing, too, is, you know, UC Saros was a minute away from getting a shutout. And maybe the fact that they scored two goals on Saros late could give the Coyotes just a little bit more confidence going into tomorrow than they would have had. But Saros, for the most part, outside of that fluky goal, and, you know, he didn't get much help on the others in game one, but could Saros have played better? Sure. But I thought Saros was really locked in today and played one of the best games we've seen him play ever since John Hines took over. And I would stick with Saros. I wouldn't risk a momentum change between the pipes by putting Pekka Rinne in there and having Rinne be bad Rinne and not good Rinne.
I think so too. And I've had some people point out, you know, just the numbers and traditionally what you look at, you know, starting a goaltender 2 days in a row and about how the numbers are worse on day two with no day of rest. But it's a different situation. Like, we're in a situation that's never happened before. There's no travel. You don't have to worry about, like, a wear and tear of a season. They've had almost 5 months off. So it's not like UC Saros has been getting worn into the ground for the last 3 or 4 months. So I agree. I think people are overthinking this. I think Saros is the way to go tomorrow. He would have had the shutout today if Jared Tenorti did not pull a Jared Tenorti and one of the most brutal turnovers I've seen in recent memory. It was awful. But I having said that, I mean, Saros, I think you saw it in his comments after the game. I don't think he anticipates any problem whatsoever starting the second half of back-to-back. So it is something you have to think about if you're John Hines. Like, Pekka played really well in the exhibition game. Does that mean a whole lot to me? Probably not. I don't think so. I certainly think you have to entertain the idea of putting him in there, but I think at the end of the day, the Predators are and should go with UC Saros.
Robbie Stanley of NHL.com with us here on Preds Insiders. Robbie, you alluded to it earlier in our conversation of how the Preds have been in this situation before here in the last couple postseasons where they'll respond to a loss with a victory and get people's hopes up that they've turned a corner, and then they lay an egg in a pivotal swing game in a series. And we saw that certainly last year against Dallas and 2018 against Winnipeg, Cup final against Pittsburgh. Obviously, this is now a best of three with the series tied 1-1. Do you think the winner of tomorrow's game wins the series?
I do, and I think that this is the time now for this core group to prove that they belong together. And I went on a big rant about this yesterday, both on Morning Drive and on the Locked On Predators podcast. I'm done making excuses for this group of players. Like, you know, we blamed coaches, we blamed all sorts of different things. Now this is on the players. And I think heading into the day, there was a ton of pressure on this group internally, because if you lose today, yeah, you could come back and beat the Coyotes three times in a row. I'm not going to put that out of the realm of possibility, but it's unlikely that that happens. So if that happens and you lose this qualifying round series, there's no way David Poile's bringing this group back next year as is. Like, you just can't do it. I don't think you can justify it to yourself or the fans or anything like that. So I think there's significant pressure on this core group, and I'm talking about Johansson and Turris and Forsberg, Arvidsson, guys who are important, who are making a lot of money, Duchesne as well, guys who have been here, either been here for a long time or they're taking up a significant piece of the salary cap. There's pressure on this group to get the job done this year and advance deep into the playoffs. I'm not saying they have to win the Stanley Cup, but I think there's some pressure to put a deep run together for this group. So I think now is the time that the players need to prove that, you know, we know what happened in the regular season. We know how inconsistent we were. We know how all the time we figured, hey, how many times this year, fourth, did we ask, hey, is this a turning point for the Predators? And then they come out in the next game and lay an egg. Mm-hmm. That cannot happen in game three. Now, if you go out there and you have 48 shots on goal and you dominate possession and you run into a hot goaltender and lose 2-1, that's one thing. I can accept that. But what I can accept is just 10 to 12 minute lapses in games like we saw in game one. I still think there's significant pressure on this group to win, and they need to go out and prove in game three that they've got that fortitude to push forward and grab momentum, unlike they really did at all at any point in the regular season.
He's Robbie Stanley of NHL.com. You can catch him tomorrow morning and every morning from 6 to 10 a.m. on Morning Drive alongside Joe Rexroad. Robbie, thanks for joining us here this evening on Preds Insiders, and we'll see if the Preds can pull it off yet again tomorrow. Same time, same channel.
Appreciate you, brother. Looking forward to some more afternoon hockey tomorrow.
Absolutely. Robbie Stanley has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. And coming up next, we will hear from John Hines and UC Saros about, do they go with UC Saros? Is UC Saros comfortable with playing on back-to-back days? We will hear from both of them coming up next. Plus, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on this discussion, because I know I've seen a lot of people on Twitter having differing opinions on Saros or Rinne for Game 3 and the fact that it's a back-to-back. Would you go Saros or would you go Rinne? We'll get to all of that coming up next here on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth here in the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com, and it is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth here. Preds win 4-2 over the Arizona Coyotes in Game 2 today of the best-of-five qualifying series. Series tied 1-1. Game 3 tomorrow, pregame 12:30, puck drop 1:30, same time, same channel, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app as the Preds look to take a 2-1 series lead. Will it be UC Saros or Pekka Rinne between the pipes for the Nashville Predators? That is the burning question on social media right now of whether or not to stick with UC Saros, who played very well today, made 24 saves, or do you go to Pekka Rinne, who is in John Hines' back pocket in case anything goes wrong with UC Saros? And obviously, we all know Pekka Rinne has been the face of the franchise for years for the Nashville Predators. That is a huge question that is being debated on social media right now. You heard Robbie Stanley and I weigh in on that last segment, how we both feel like it should be Saros. John Hines today, after the game, was asked whether or not he has made a decision yet on his Game 3 starter.
It is a factor, you know, like when we talked about evaluating the goalies and then going game by game. So it's, you know, something that we haven't made a decision for tomorrow at this point. I think it's important, like everything, that you let this one digest a little bit. We go back, have a meal, we talk, we rewatch the video, and then we'll make a decision. You know, that's usually how we go about it, and particularly in a playoff series.
That was John Hines earlier today after the Preds win over the Arizona Coyotes, saying that they still have not made a decision. They're probably eating dinner right now and then watching tape and then making the decision. And I kind of feel like the back-to-back thing is being overblown here because it is not your normal back-to-back. There is no travel. It's not like the Preds are flying from Columbus to Minnesota tonight to play a game tomorrow. They are literally walking across the street or maybe two blocks to their hotel room, resting up, waking up, and playing once again tomorrow for Game 3. I think UC Saros played very well today, should have had a shutout if not for Jared Tenorti's brain fart in the defensive zone with about, I don't know, 60 seconds left in the game. And UC Soros also is young, and I just have this feeling that if you put him out there tomorrow, it's not like he's going to be truly affected by the back-to-back. I think a lot of people are overthinking it. And if I were John Hines, I would not want to risk changing the momentum of the series after the last five periods by putting Pecorine in there and giving Arizona any sort of additional confidence because there's been a goalie change. We've seen that in past postseasons where if there's a goalie change, it can swing the momentum one way or the other. I would stick with UC Soros, and I don't think the back-to-back is going to be that big of a deal. And UC Soros even said as much earlier today. UC Soros did meet with the media after the victory. UC Soros was asked about the back-to-backs and whether or not it would be a factor for him tomorrow in Game 3, and here's what UC Soros had to say.
Yeah, I think it's fine, especially since we're playing this early. You got the whole day and time to recover. So, yeah, I like it. So I got no issues with that, and I think all the guys are ready for tomorrow.
That was UC Soros after the victory today, saying that it's not going to be a factor for him, not that big of a deal, that he played today and could play tomorrow. So if I was John Hines, I stick with UC Soros. This is Soros' crease. I mean, think about it. Going into the season pause back in March, I've said this before on this program, I'll say it again. UC Soros started 15 of the final 21 games going into that season pause on March 12th. UC Soros was John Hines' number one goaltender back in the regular season. I felt strongly that UC Soros had the leg up going into training camp, even though it was billed as a training camp competition, and it kind of seemed as much after the fact that UC Soros was probably the guy all along, unless Pecorine stole the job from UC Soros, or if UC Soros just played horribly in camp in the scrimmages. UC Soros outplayed Pecorine in the scrimmages. I don't think UC Soros has done anything wrong to give up the crease tomorrow, even though it's a back-to-back. So if I were John Hines, I would stick with UC Soros. Now, the bigger question here when it comes to goaltending tomorrow is, what does Arizona do? Because Darcy Kuemper, you heard Robbie Stanley say last segment that he thought Darcy Kuemper was average at best. I thought he was very shaky today. The second goal that Ryan Johansson scored, I thought Kuemper absolutely should have stopped that puck. He was very leaky on that goal. I said this with Robbie last segment. Thought he was frozen in time. He was trying to win the mannequin challenge on the Cali Yarncroke goal because he just sat there, frozen, let Cali Yarncroke score on him. And this Preds team has scored now seven times on Kuemper through two games. And the Preds have to have some confidence going into Game 3 that they can beat this guy. But Antti Raanta, in the middle of the game, became unfit to play. And Aiden Hill then became the backup goalie for the Coyotes. Aiden Hill has not sniffed postseason hockey in his hockey career. So I kind of feel like if Antti Raanta is still unfit to play tomorrow, that Rick Tocchet is going to go back to Kuemper. Whereas if Raanta was fit to play, I kind of feel like Raanta would be the guy tomorrow for the Coyotes between the pipes. So what kind of leash does Darcy Kuemper have tomorrow going into Game 3 if the same thing happens today as it happened, or tomorrow as it happened today, where the Preds score two goals early and he doesn't look good between the pipes? Does Rick Tocchet go to Aiden Hill with the series slipping away at that point? Or does he stick with Darcy Kuemper? That's a pretty big question with the Arizona Coyotes going into tomorrow's Game 3. I kind of feel like it will be Kuemper versus Soros once again, even though it is a back-to-back. But once again, not your normal back-to-back. Coming up next, another positive from today's game that I thought was really important to see. Plus, we'll go around the National Hockey League. That's all coming up next year on Preds Insiders. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Special edition Preds Insiders rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice at KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. And Osteo Strong Nashville. Now, the Preds get the 4-2 win over the Arizona Coyotes today. Goal scorers Nick Bonino, Ryan Johansson, Callie Yarncroke, and Victor Arvidsson, as they really dominated much of the game. The two goals by the Coyotes scored in the final minute of regulation when it was 4-0. UC Saros essentially pitched a shutout until literally the last minute of action in that game. Now, one of the big positives I feel has really transpired really since the start of training camp has been the fact that Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Johansson, and Philip Forsberg have been back together, and they are playing pretty well. I wouldn't say they're to the level that they were, you know, a year and a half ago, back in March and April of 2019, right before the postseason series against the Dallas Stars, when Victor Arvidsson became the single season goal scorer, scoring record for Nashville Predators history. And the season before that, when they won the President's Trophy, that line was considered one of the top three or four lines in the entire National Hockey League. I don't think they're yet to that point. But it does feel like with the scrimmages that have gone on, with the exhibition game, and now games 1 and 2 against the Arizona Coyotes, that Jofa line continues to improve and continues to take steps in the right direction to maybe becoming at some point that dominant first line once again. And Johansson scored today. Victor Arvidsson scored today. Philip Forsberg scored twice on Sunday. So that trio has now scored 4 times in 2 games against the Coyotes. And Ryan Johansson, after the game today, was asked why the Jofa line has had so much success so far through 2 games in this series. And here's what Johansson had to say.
Fresh start is definitely a big thing. Arv with his injuries this year and inconsistencies in our individual games throughout the year, to have a little reset and chance to get our minds right and come together again and have some time in training camp, practices every day, feel comfortable with one another again and just go out here and play and do our thing. And, you know, we know what we're capable of, and we just want to go out there and work our butts off for each other and do everything we can to be successful for our club.
That was Ryan Johansson earlier this afternoon. So I feel like that is a big, big positive for the Nashville Predators offensively, that Jofa line is starting to click. And yes, 3 of those 4 goals that I mentioned have come on the power play. But overall, at even strength, they're starting to get a lot of opportunities, and they're starting to put the puck in the net, whether it's at even strength, whether it's on the power play. I think that is a huge, huge positive for this Nashville Predators team. And going into tomorrow for Game 3, I also thought it was a good thing to see Kyle Turris and Matt Duchene and Mikael Granlund as a trio as well generate some offense today. I thought in Game 1 they were below average. They weren't very good. In Game 2 today, I thought they were a lot better, a lot more effective. You also got secondary scoring from Nick Bonino and Callie Yarncroke. That's obviously important as you move forward in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So overall, really like the effort out of the Nashville Predators today, but you got to follow it up tomorrow with a victory. You cannot fall into the trap again of responding to a loss with a win, but then handing it right back to the Arizona Coyotes and find yourself facing elimination in Game 4. And we now know Game 4 will be necessary on Friday. We do not know the game time just yet for Game 4 between the Preds and Coyotes up in Edmonton. Speaking of up in Edmonton right now, the Flames and Jets are tied at 1 in the second period. What an intense series that's been. They are on the back half of a back-to-back there between the Flames and the Jets. And the two goalies that played yesterday afternoon, Cam Talbot and Connor Hellebuyck, are in there once again for those two teams. So, again, I don't think the back-to-backs are that big of a deal for goaltenders compared to normal. Another game earlier today, Toronto getting the 3-0 victory. They tie the series. Last night, you saw the 5 seeds respond to the 12 seeds with victories, with the Oilers beating the Blackhawks, with the Penguins beating the Canadiens. So lots of great hockey so far. And some low-scoring games which I think is normal for the playoffs, but that Oilers-Blackhawks series, defense is optional, and I'm here for it because Connor McDavid, it is his world, and we're living in it. His goal last night was one of the most impressive goals that you will ever see. Him going coast to coast like butter toast and putting it top shelf on Corey Crawford, just skating by everybody with the Blackhawks. It was such a great goal by Connor McDavid. He had a hat trick yesterday, by the way. So that's all we have for Preds Insiders here this evening. I'm Ryan Porth here in the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, as the Flames make it 2-1 over the Winnipeg Jets in that crucial Game 3 with the series tied 1-1. The series is tied at 1 between the Preds and Coyotes. Game 3 tomorrow, pregame at 12:30, puck drop at 1:30. All the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.